Mr. Glenn Landry, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm interviewing my grandpa, or what I would call Papa. He was born in 1941, so that makes him 82 years old, and the reason I'm interviewing him is because he has just been an inspiration in my life, and I want to follow his ways.
Yeah, of course we went to a real small school, and everybody pretty much knew who everybody else was, you know, in high school, but I knew who she was even in the younger grades because she was kind of standing out because every day she wore cowboy boots as a little girl. Anyhow, there was never any formal meeting, but I was on her bowling team in high school. And then, of course, our first date was a triple date. Three of us football players went to pick up the three girls. We didn't know who was going to be with who. Anyhow, I wound up with her on the first date. So I can't say we really had a formal meeting, but we kind of got introduced again on that first date.
Well, like, as a kid, throughout your whole life, like, do you have, like, a biggest regret?
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, I was a lot younger than my two older brothers, so I didn't get to do a whole lot of stuff with them. I kind of regret not being closer to them when I was younger. When I got to high school, they were both gone already. And so I regret that, and I don't know. We didn't do a whole lot of family things together, but we had fun when we did do stuff. But it's not like now. It was different. Parents had to both be working, and I don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty much regrets was not being able to be closer to the family growing up.
Mm-hmm. What type of trouble did you get in as like a kid?
Well, I can't remember being in a whole lot of trouble, but I did some pretty stupid things. I can remember doing. I grew up on a street that had a railroad track right in front of it across the street. And they did a lot of train switching there.
Yeah.
And they used to have cabooses on these trains where the conductors and the workers stayed and had their lunch and stuff. It was usually at the tail end of the train. And they kept flares and stuff like that in it. And we used to, as young kids, stupid, go climb all over those trains when they were not working. They were just sitting there. They'd sit there sometimes for days, get into those cabooses and take flares out, stuff like that. I never got caught doing it, but it was pretty stupid. I didn't get in any real trouble till in high school when my parents were gone for a weekend, and I had all the boys I knew come over and spend the night. We were living in a place called Riverside in Orange. And they were building a swimming pool in Riverside. And it was at night. We all went down to the swimming pool. Wasn't even open yet. Climbed over the fence and got into the swimming pool and raising all kind of cane and making noise and stuff. And somebody called police. Police came and arrested me. Pretty scary.
Yeah.
Put a spotlight on me and told me to stop. So I stopped. And anyhow, they put handcuffs on me, put me in the back of the squad car, took me to the house where most of the guys had gotten back and were hiding in the house. Anyhow, I'd given them all of their names. So they were calling out names, and here they were coming out. Took us all down to the police station and got the manager of the whole complex over there in the middle of the night. And uh, Anyhow, nothing came of it, but that was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
That's about the worst trouble I've gotten into, I guess.
They just, like, call your parents and, like...
They couldn't call my parents because nobody had phones back then except at the house. They didn't have cell phones. My parents were on a trip somewhere. They called my older brother who was living in Lake Charles in the middle of the night. He drove all the way to Orange from Lake Charles to come get us, take care of it. Anyhow, they turned us loose and they didn't keep any records of it. The Riverside manager just didn't want to press charges for it. He just wanted to be sure that anything that was taken, the little floats that were on the pool to hold the, I don't know, some equipment up. A couple of them were missing. He just wanted all that returned and wanted to be sure we stayed out of there because it was dangerous anyhow. Yeah. Nothing much came of it.
Well, what's like one piece of advice like you would give to yourself as like a younger kid?
Oh my goodness. I would say, looking back, I would tell myself to pay more attention to what they're trying to teach me in school. Because I used to cut up a lot in school and miss a lot of school. So I needed to be more serious about what they want, you know, growing up and learning stuff. I did good on things I liked, but I didn't really put out much effort in other stuff like English class and stuff like that. And now that's the kind of thing I would try to make myself do better.
Is that like, is your dad where you learned to cook or did you?
Well, I didn't. I just kind of watched what they did. Mom and dad both, and they were preparing things, and they never had recipes, you know, nothing to study. The way they grew up was putting whatever they thought they needed into their preparing their food, and that's pretty much, I just watched that. I didn't really have a class or ask them to teach me anything like that.
Yeah.
Just from observations.
Did you have any pets?
Yeah. When I was older, in high school, I had a pet monkey. I went to Lake Charles to a pet shop and bought a squirrel monkey and kept him at my house. For a good, he was fun to have around.
So, squirrel monkey, does that mean it's like a smaller monkey? Like
it's a little small monkey. You need to Google that when you get a chance. They got a little round face that looks like an old man's face. A little kind of, a little small, about the size of a squirrel, a big cat squirrel. And but they have the long tail, and, you know, they're regular monkeys. And they make good pets.
Yeah.
So
that. Mm-hmm. Well, you said you went to the military for a little bit. What was that like? Was it a life-changing experience?
Oh, yes. Actually, I think that's that has pretty much changed everything. Oh, my goodness. Back in those days, every male that turned 18 years old had to register with the military for draft purposes. And it was, you could actually get arrested and drafted if you did not register on your 18th birthday. They waited until you were 18. So, of course, while I was in high school, my brother was in the military and the Army during the Korean War. And then when it was my turn, we were in the middle of the Vietnam War. So I had registered. I was on the next draft call. At this time, I was in college trying to, get my degree. Leslie was working, teaching. And it was a rough time to try to, in the heat of the battle in Vietnam while I'm trying to get my degree.
Yeah.
And I was on the next draft call. I'd already gone and taken my physical exam for the military because I was being drafted. But I hadn't actually got my draft letter to report yet. And I found out that there were some Army Reserve and military reserve units in the area. And I started checking on them. And I found one in Port Arthur that was United States Army Reserve Company. And got a hold of them and found out they had an opening. So I enlisted, voluntarily enlisted in the Army Reserves for a 6-year enlistment to be able to stay in school and finish getting my degree. And then that was a life-changing thing. You cannot go through all the stuff they put you through and not come back changed.
Yeah.
Completely changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of our downfalls now, what's going on in our country now, that kids got out of high school, didn't know what they want to do. They could go to the military, get trained in it, and they weren't in trouble. They had to go if they got drafted. None of that happening now. But anyhow, that's a life-changing thing. That was your question.
Well,
yes.
Well, whenever kids got drafted, were there a lot of incidents where people would try and stay and not go?
I don't know if there were a lot, but there were definitely some cases, yes. And they would actually go and find them. And, they were, a lot of them went to Canada to get out of our draft. And they had other excuses. They'd go to Mexico. They would try to claim their religion won't let them, go into war and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that was a small percentage of people doing that.
Uh-huh. Well, I know you have to go get ready or something like that. So I'll let you go.
Well,